Okay. All right, we left off Thursday. Hope everyone had a good Shabbos. Okay, we're up to the Tosis on Beis Menahem. Okay? Afa may be Mirekim, and then we'll have to see, based on this topic I want to see today, Kinoim Pokemon. Let's begin the Tosis. Afa may be Mirekim. Okay? Let's see who wants to read the Tosis. Yona, go ahead. Tell Tosis Mask Afa Mevi, go ahead.
Afa Mevi Mirekim. Afa Mirekim.
Excellent. Rabbi Gamliel said in the Mishnah that if a guy brings a get from Rechem or Hagar to Eretz Israel, you must say b'fanenechta. Okay? And Tosso says that implies that there are Jews that live in what? In the city of Rechem. Not only Yidim, but Yidim that are Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs, because obviously they want to have a get. If there's a divorce, they want to do it Kedasu Kedin. Okay? So Tosa says what is implied from our Mishnah is that Yisraelim live there that are Shomrei Torah and Mitzvahs. They have to write a Mishma. Oh, go ahead. Ba'adet Kanan. The Toan. Stop there. Period. So what's Tosus bothered by? There's a Mishnah in Nida that says explicitly that anytime there are stains, kesem means a stain, that comes from the city of Rechem, it's Tahorah. And Reb Yudah says it's Tameh because there are Gerim there, the Toan, and they forgot the Halacha. Okay? So the Poshup Shot is the following, that the Tanakhama holds that there are no Jews there, therefore it's Tahorah. And Reb Yehuda holds that their Tomei implies that what? That there are Jews there, but the bottom line is that the not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, they forgot the Halacha. And since they forgot the Halacha, they really are Goyim, they really were Goyim, they converted, they forgot Yahadus, and they act like Goyim. And therefore, since Maker Adin, they're Jews, because why? There's a famous din that I wanted you to see in Sanhedrin. That Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael, no matter what you do, the most terrible of error you do if you're Jewish, the halacha is that you remain Jewish, you don't lose your Kedushas Yisrael. The Gemara says that when Achan took the spoils from the city of Ai, it's a terrible thing that he did. But since three people knew about it, his wife and his children, the Gemara says, in Sanhedrin, I want you to see that Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adaf, Mem, did I give it to you? No, I didn't give you the one, yeah, Mem, Dalet, and Aleph. When Achan sinned and he took the spoils, it says that his wife and kids knew about it, three or more people know about it, as if they should have watched, stopped it, and they didn't. So therefore, we consider all of Klal Yisrael sinning, even though they didn't. And the Gemara is a Klal Chata Yisrael. The Pasuk says in Yeshua that Yisrael sinned. Okay, what's the Chiddush? Yisrael sinned. The Chiddush is two Chiddush. Number one, all of Klal Yisrael is considered if they sinned because it was public knowledge and they didn't stop them. And number two, that even if you sin, Shechata, even though if you sin, Israel. Even though if you sin, you're still labeled as Israel. You never lose your Kedushas Yisrael. So I want you to get that two Kedushim in that Gemara. Number one, it was only Achan that sinned. And it was a terrible calamity they lost in the war. Why? Because no one was supposed to take any spoils when it came to Ai. In fact, the Gemara explains that Hashem came to Yeshua and said, what did you do that for? Why did you make a cherem? So Yeshua said, I did like my Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu. When they fought Midian, Moshe Rabbeinu made a cherem, then no one could take any spoils. So Hashem says, just because your Rebbe did it, doesn't mean you have to do whatever your Rebbe does in a different situation. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have done that, because he knew that everyone in Klal Yisrael wouldn't have stopped themselves. Right? That's the concept included in Das Torah. Das Torah, you have to think about what your Rebbe would do into such a situation, not automatically what you would do. You do. Different situations come up. So Hashem told Yeshua you were wrong for making that error. Because you should have known that not everyone in Klal Yisrael could have fulfilled it. Okay? So therefore what emerges is the following. Afal pi shechata Yisrael. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that these stains that are found are considered to be what? Of Jews. They converted, they were goyim. They converted the Yadus, and they stopped acting like Jews, but once they convert, they're considered to be what? Yisrael and Gmur. And that is the halacha. And therefore, their kismayim are tmeim. Their kismayim are tmeim, even though they became goyim later on. Okay, this is a very important point that we're explaining. So it comes out, basically, that it's a twofold kasha, it seems. Seems like it's a twofold kasha. Number one, from the Tanakhama, that what? Tanakhama implies that there are no Yisraelim there at all. Seems that way. Or at least no Yisraelim that are Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs. And even according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if their Kismayim are what are Tmeim, okay, and this is the Halacha Lamaisa. According to the Tanakhama Lamaisa, there are no Jews there at all. Therefore the stains are Tahorim. Right? According to Yisrael, there's no Yisrael in their own. Therefore, the stain is Tahara. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Tomei because they were Goyim, they converted into the Torah. And they act like Goyim. But since they're still labeled as Yisrael, Afal pi shechata Yisraelu, their stains are Tomei. Okay? So therefore, the Kasha really is both from the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's on Rabbi Gamliel. You follow what I'm saying? Rabbi Gamliel said in our Mishnah, "Afa mevi min rekem nechek," implies that from rekem they're shomer Torah mitzvahs. From the Tanakhama, it implies that they're goyim because their stains are what? Their stains are Torah. And from Rabbi Yehuda, it implies that they're Yisraelim, but the Yisrael are not what shomer Torah mitzvahs. Okay, so it comes out vein latana makama vein Rabbi Yehuda. There are no Yisraelim in rekem that are shomer Torah mitzvahs. You follow me? Okay, one sec, Seth. Now, I want to just explain. Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal once pointed out, you can never have a machlokes in Metzius. What, so they were arguing with Metzius? So I want to say the following. Okay, I want you to get this. I want to say the following. It's a chiddush, but let's get it. That the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing in the Kasha of Tosfos that if you have a Jew that becomes an apostate, becomes a goy, does he lose his Kedushas Yisrael? So we want to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, no. And according to the Chachamim, yes. Because I don't want to explain this as a machlokes in Metzius. What they're arguing sociologically, whether there were Jews in the city or not. Very hard to explain. So we want to say that it's a lomdish machlokes here as to whether what once a Yisrael becomes a Meshuvah, do you lose your Kedushas Yisrael? Now, you could limit it. That's one way of saying it. Okay, that's one way of saying it. There's a fundamental machlokes talmudic here. When you talk about someone that goes off the derech, does he lose his kedushas Yisrael? That's number one way of saying it. Number two is maybe you could say if a ger, the goy, starts offing a goy, then he converts the yadus and he goes off the derech. Is it possible that the whole gerus goes up in smoke? You follow me? The first way is a little bit more extreme in light of what Afal pi shechata Yisrael. I thought everyone is considered to be what? I thought everyone is considered to be Yisrael, no matter how much you sin, right? Okay, well, let's wait. But I'm just saying the first way of saying it is even more extreme, because that means the Tanakhama is arguing on this cloud, right? Afal pi shechata Yisrael. And the Yehuda is saying, no, once you sin, you're always Yisrael. So these are two ways I want you to get down to explain this machlokes tanoim. Okay? To explain this machlokes tanoim. Now, there are a few other makoros that we should mention on this topic. Okay? Are you familiar with the machlokes between all over Shas, whether the kusim with Gary Arias or Gary Emerson? It's mentioned here in Gittin and Daf Yud, were the kusim Gary Emerson? Or were they Gary Arias? What does that mean? these were the Samaritans, I believe the way it's translated. When they converted, did they do it truthfully, or did they do it what? Did they do it because lions scared them to convert? So my click is all over Shas, okay? Click is kind of like. Now, Rashi learns in Yevamos on Daf Chof Beis that the machlokes is a long list of machlokes. Meaning, if you're ever coerced to convert, is that considered to be a good gerus? Someone coerces you to convert. Is that a good gerus? Gary Anishain says yes. Gary Arias says no, it's not. Machlokes in long list, Rashi says, are Gary Emes, Gary Arias, or the Gary Emes? Are Kusim Gary Emes, Gary Arias? Along with the Shemachlokes. Tosis and Chulin, and Dalit and Bez Arias. And Tosis says, no, that the Machlokes, Gary Emes, Gary Arias, saying is a historical Machlokes. Meaning, did they ever convert a second time? Evan agrees the first conversion was because lions were roaring at him. Question, did they convert a second time? Legitimate. The opinion that says Gary Emesain says yes, they did. They reconverted legitimately. The opinion that says Gary Emesain says they never did. So it's a historical machlokes. So I want you to get this. A machlokes Rashi and Tosis, how do we masber the machlokes Gary Emesain all over Shas? Okay? According to Rashi, it's a love to show machlokes. Whether coerced, Gerus is it good? According to Tosis, it's a historical machlokes. Is it considered to be what? Did they convert a second time? Oh, but what I want you to get is the following. The Gemara writes in Chulin on Vavam and Aleph that they found the Kusim later on bowing down to a Demus Yonah, to a dove. They mamish took an idol and they were bowing down to it. Gaval, the Chachamim said. Chachamim said, this is horrible. How could they do this? And you know what happened? They treated them like goyim. They threw them out of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Gemara writes in Chulin on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. That's what the Gemara writes. Gemara says, "Rabami, Rabasi, Gozru, the Kibbu Minayu, and they made them like Ovicham." It says, "I'm sorry, Rabami, Rabasi, Lozoz Misham Shehosim Ovicham Gemurim." They made them mamish like goyim. This is in Chulin Vav Amud Aleph. Please get it. So that's the first makkah we find that Beis Din has the koyach to remove Jews from Klal Yisrael. To remove Jews from Klal Yisrael. And it seems like to trump this rule. Let's just say this rule arises like, by the heathen. Maybe it's the general rule. But what I'm pointing out is that there's a marker that we find Beis Din has the koyach to what? Throw out Jews from Klal Yisrael and Mafkid the Kedusha. The Chassam Sofer in Hilchos Tefillin. In Siman Lamed Tes, in Hilchos Tefillin, Siman Lamed Tes, the Rambam discusses that, in fact, we do find from the Pesuk in Ezra that when they came, the Jews came back from Babel, Ezra said, you better leave your non-Jewish wives, right? If you don't leave your non-Jewish wives, it seems he took away their money, and the way that Chassam Sofer wants to say it, he took away their what? Yiddishkeit. Took away their identity. Their Jewish identity that Seth was hinting to before. The Pesuk says in Ezra, it says, Kol asher yolo yovel l'shosh sheyomim ke'atzes asorim ha'zkenim yecharam kol rish chusho hu yibadel mikal ha'gola. Said according to the Pesuk from the Pesuk, we're quoting from the Gemara in Gittin, and our Seth on Lamed Vav of the base. It says they were separated mikal ha'gola. Mashma, they can be thrown out of Klal Yisrael. You can be released from Kedusha, it seems. That's what the Sofer has a phenomenal finish. So we find the curse of this. What's the third marker? The Gemara in the last daf in the first parak of Yevamos, on Daf Tet Zayin, says that the Aseres Ashvatim were thrown out of Klal Yisrael because they were traitors. On Tet Zayin and Beis, they were both in. So we do find, even though there is a cloud, Ashvatim Yisrael, there are makoros that indicate you can, in fact, throw out Jews from Klal Yisrael. Beis Din needs to do it. We can't do that nowadays, of course, in a collective basis, but there are makoros for this. So we want to explain the following. And that is that this machlokes Tanakhama Yudah was predicated on a long machlokes the Tanna Kamma says in Rekim, the stains are Tahoru. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they were Jews. Maybe they were Goyim originally, but they were Jews. And they went off to there. They became apostates. Says the Tanna Kamma, they're no longer Jewish. Now, whether you'll say that only by Gerim, Goyim that became Gerim, or by Jews, we're saying in one of two ways. But the Tanna Kamma holds to the shtickel term. Rabbi Yehuda denies it, and he holds Achal Pishachal Yisrael. But they call the call, Yona, for our purposes, what was Tosis Kasha? There were no one being Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Our Mishnah implies they were what? Being Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, right? And the Mishnah need implies no. Tanna Kamma, they were Goyim. Rabbi Yehuda, they were Jews, but they weren't Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. They forgot all that did it. That's the Kasha of Tosis. We got it? So you learn the Kasha. Yes, sir, go ahead. Oh, I don't know. I'm not familiar. That's talking about Gerim. That was the issue about Gerim. Different reason of Gerim. I'm not familiar with that. That was issues whether the Gerim were the Gerim was good or not, right?
I think because like they
have like okay, go ahead.
You're right.
That's pointing out in those three Makoros that we mentioned, the Gemara Kulin, they were originally going and they converted. And in Ezra, there really are Jews. Well said. Very good. You're right. But I'm just putting that, we're putting in the three Makoros that there's such a cutoff, which is very novel. Yeah, go ahead.
And then I thought it was the spirit of Tanna Kamma, the leader of Tanna Kamma here, not from the Neil. Because Tanna Kamma here is assuming Mashu that there are other Jews in Rekkim and there, and Tanna Kamma leader is Mashu that there are.
No, it's just a rule of the wheel. The Dimon Mashu is honor of the wheel. Afa may be in Rekkim and Chagr. According to Tanna Kamma, yes, you don't have to say Fanei Nachtav.
You know, because there are Jews there.
No, it's because the Maisa, the Lishma, or the Kaimo, the cash is clearly from Rav Gamliel.
I thought that each new opinion in the Mishnah
was
just like furthering how far
we sit here. No, it might be that the statement of Rav Gamliel, though, implies that there were Jews, there were Shomer Torah. So Tosis is asking on that. No, Tanna Kamma's here, he's also assuming that there might be Jews there. I understand, but you can't ask Jews in Tanna Kamma. I'm saying the Rav Gamliel said black on white, Rekkim Nechegra implies that there were Jews who were Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. But the point that I want to bring out to you, though, is that the Kasha was both from the Tanna Kamma and Rav Yehuda. Okay? And you have to imagine what the Machlokes of the Tanna Kamma and Rav Yehuda was. And that's what we're saying in Logos. Okay? Alright. Now that we have the Kasha, okay, let's also, it's important that we know, okay, the notion of a needed, does that apply to Goyim? It doesn't. Mina Torah. I want you to get that. The din of a needed does not apply to a Goyim, to a non-Jewish woman. Midiraisa said the din of a needed only applies to Jewish women. But Tosfos in Nida points out that the Gemara says Ori and Lamedalot Manalot in Nida, Lamedalot Manalot, that there was a din de Rabbanon. That dam of a non-Jewish woman is metame, midrabbanan. Okay? Dam of a rabbanus kochavim, dam of a rabbanus kochavim is metame midrabbanan. Please get home, midrabbanan, not midrabbanan, yes. Okay? So that's why Tosis is bothered by it, needed. The small Tosis, I didn't give it to you, maybe you saw it though. Tosis asking me, Bane, is bothered by Akasha. Why is the whole assumption, the premise is that if they're going, it's Tahora, right? That's the whole premise that we're saying. According to the Tanna Kamma, there are no Yidden, there are only one, so it's Tahora. But there's a Midrabbanan that a doubt of a bonus Kachav is Matam of Midrabbanan Dallas. You follow me? Why is the whole premise that it's considered to be a what? Considered to be a problem. Well, so that's Tahora. Doubt of a natural Shuman is Matam of Midrabbanan. Might not be Midrash, but it is Midrabbanan. So Tosos writes the following. This is what I want to bring out as well. Institution of Ksamen. See, everything we always try to say, we never skip. You should always know the din, what you're talking about. Okay? What is Ksamen? What is the halacha of ksama? Ksama means stains, okay? Stains. Stains are a nidur of honor. What does that mean? For our purposes, not to get into all the intricacies of Hilchos Nidur, but for our purposes, let's get this thing, okay? A woman menstruates, let's say, 5 days, and then she has to do a hefsek tahara. She has to end the day in a state of tahara. She checks herself. And then she has to wait shiva nikim, and then she goes to the mikvah and she is tahara to her husband. Okay? Now, let's say during the days where she's mutaris to her husband, she sees a stain, which is called a kesem. A kesem is a xerim midrabana that makes her tummy. Some are a dindurabana. It's a dindurabana that make her tummy. Because in order for a woman to become a nida min haTorah, she needs what is called a hargasha. This is a gemara of nida daf nun zayin. She has to feel something when she gets her onset. Hargasha is one of three things, says the Piskei Tshuva, in the beginning of Hilchos Nidah. Number one is nizdazeya gufa, her body shakes. It's not clear whether we have this bisman hazeh. Probably we don't. Some poskim might say it means cramps or things of that sort, but the pashas is most poskim say we don't have this nowadays. Rambam says her body really shakes. We're not sure what that is when she gets her onset. Number two is ziva stavra. She feels something internally. A flow, internally, not coming out of her, but internally, by the uterus. And number three is the halacha of niftach makor. Niftach makor. Niftach makor means she feels her womb opening, the uterus. So these are three different definitions of what hargasha is. Now, most poskim assume that women have either two or three, otherwise you can never have a nida min yoraisa, is my answer. Now, there's no nachkimin to a nida yoraisa drabana. A husband can't be with his wife, there's a nida even if she's drabana. But in order to be a nida min yoraisa, she needs this hargasha. It's very important in nida daf nun zayin. Now, if a woman is tahora, she shouldn't be seeing any blood. Let's say she sees blood. She stains. Sometimes, hormonally, she might stain if she's taking, let's say, a birth control pill. It might cause staining in the middle of her times when she's tahora. That is called a kesem. Because she didn't have argasha. She's not expected to have her period then. So what is that called? That's called a kesem. Ksamim. Ksamim are exerim with their abundant stains. And that makes the woman what? Makes the woman, should be usher midrabanan, but we have many kulas for ksamim. Namely, let's say she's wearing colored clothes. So there's no xera of ksamim on the colored clothes. Whenever a woman is muteris to her husband, she shouldn't wear white clothes. Because the xera of ksamim was not set on colored clothes. Let's say the blood that she saw was less than a gris, which Moshe says is less than a penny. An American penny. Office me gris. We have a kula. Number three is, let's say it falls on something that's not makabel tuma. Generally, toilet paper, we assume is not makabel tuma. It's machlokes in the post, but generally, that's what we assume. Ain't no makabel tuma. There's no din of ksamim on something ain't no makabel tuma. So there are various kulas that you have on ksamim. Okay? There are various kulas that we have on ksamim. Because it's exerim midrabana. Okay, it's not her onset, it's not the flow, but if you don't have this kula, it's going to be prohibited. And plus the fact, many times a chacham can look at the color, if it's not red or black, if it's brown, then you could be maker. Rav has to do shimush on that, and look at the ksam, at the maris. Okay? So we can also, but that kula exists all the time, and to determine what color. So these are the three kulas. So Tosus is bothered by Akasha. He says, I don't understand. Why is the whole assumption of our Tosfos and the whole din is that if they are Goyim, it's Tahara, right? But we said that Dam of an Obediskochavim, a woman, is Matamim in Rabbana. The answer is, please get it, says Tosus, that since Summon is a din to Rabbana, they did not impose that din to Rabbana on non-Jewish women. And that is why we're making the premise that non-Jewish women, their stains are tahor. I'll read you the lashon of the Tosfos. Tosfos says, "Diksamim derabbanu lo gazru aleihem." Okay, follow me, Mike. You got it. In other words, diksamim. Dama, when it's coming on Torah, she's Torah. The time of the Rabbanu, so let it be time of the Rabbanu. The answer is, some they did not make an Xerah on non-Jewish women. Only the Dam straight up. But not on stains. Okay? Alright. So therefore we have this, very strong Kasha of Tisus. Okay? Very strong Kasha of Tisus. Alright, very good, Yona. Okay, now, before we go on, Yona, and to answer that, this kasha of Tisus, there is a Mishnah Achrona. Mishnah Achrona is one of the great Gedolim. Achrona has a parish on Mishnayos. And he has, on his parish on the Mishnah needed, on Dafnu and Vav, says a very plausible answer, Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel. What's that plausible answer that you would have said? Rashi writes in Bava Kamma, please get it, on Lamed Chesem and Beis. Rashi writes in Bava Kamma, Lamed Chesem and Beis, that Rechem was a city with most Goyim. Most of the people in the city were non-Jews. There was a minority that were Jewish. And therefore he says, I don't understand, he says. There were Yidden living there, but since Rov of the city is non-Jewish, therefore any stain that comes from there is considered to be Torah. Because what's the famous klal? You have a roll, if there's a piece of meat that comes from a plaza of 10 stores, 9 of them are what? 9 of them are kosher, and 1 is not, and you find the meat in the street, right? It's a good rhyme, no meat, and then you find the meat in the street, what's the bid? What's the famous cloud of Morris's to the mouth? Cold the parish? Excellent, Seth. Cold the parish? Cold the parish? Meruba parish. Very good. Kol Parish may Ruvo Parish. Excellent. Well said. Therefore, you find a stain from the city of Rechem, what's the big deal? Okay, 90% of the community is non-Jewish, but there are 10% that are Jewish, right? What, and therefore what? Therefore you go about Sarov. The stain is Tahara. But those 10% of Jews, they're religious. Maybe they want, they know, they're Shomer Torah, and they write again. What's the contradiction? So please get that down. The Mishnah Achrona gives this answer right off the bat. He says he doesn't understand the discussion. He says, granted their role for them are Goyim. Like Rashi says it's above a comma. Allah Mechesim is that Rechem was a city with most Goyim. 90% were not Jews. 10% were Jewish. So therefore, Mishnah's talking about those 10% by us that were Jewish. Very plausible answer. What's the reason why Tisus does not buy our terrors? What's the reason why Tisus does not buy our terrors? What's the raya of Tisus? What would you say? This is a phenomenal shot. So the Dark Gate David says like this. It's a beautiful answer. Everyone got the answer? You only got it? It's a very good answer, Mishnah. But Tisus didn't like it. So the Dark Gate David says, who's the Tanakama Rebuda? Whenever Rabbi Yehuda argues, it's a Tana Kama. Who's the Tana Kama? The Gemara writes a Bava Kama. It's Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's famous Shita? Gemara actually we'll get to when we get to an evasive base. What's Rabbi Meir's famous Shita when it comes to the role? Chayish Lemuta. Rabbi Meir is worried about the meat. Koshish Lemuta. He's Koshish for meat. Therefore, don't give me the business that what? Reb Meir will hold that the Tanakama is what? The Tanakama, we go bust a roll, then all the stains are from what? Roll. Reb Meir is always worried about the mute. So therefore, it could very well be, and that's the chat, the Tanakama here of Reb Yehuda is Reb Meir, and he's Koshish Lemuta. And therefore what? The truth of the matter is that it seems very, very difficult, and this is the Pshat Lamaisa. What was the raya of Tulsus that there are no Yidim living there? Maybe there are Yidim there, but most of them are Goyim. And therefore, the Psalmim that come from their Torah, it can't be. It's not true. Because we're always Choshish Luwad. We're always Choshish Lamid. We're always Choshish Lamid, according to Reb Meir. So therefore, the stain shouldn't be Torah, right? You know what must be? It must be that Tulsus understood, and this is where Reb David Razak, Reb Shmuel, this is what Reb David Parvarsky, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, says, that there were no Jews there at all. Kol Aksum in Torim implies there's not even a myriad of what? Jews. That's what Tosfos understood in the Kasha. That's what you have to say. That's what you have to say, perhaps. Okay? You got that? And that's what Tosfos said. Tosfos didn't like the Mishnah Brura's answer. Tosfos must have understood Kol Aksum Torim, there were no Yidim at all in that time. Which is a little bit difficult, no? Why is that a little bit difficult? What, because Rabbi Yudah said that there is? What, they're arguing with Metzias again? Goes back to the point we said earlier in Shir. You know what I mean? What, Rabbi Yudah, the Tanakhama held there were no Yidim there, and Rabbi Yudah said that there were? No, it seems a bit schwer. Plus the fact, when you say that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh L'Miyuta, when is Rabbi Meir Choshesh L'Miyuta, Tosfos writes in Yevamos? Adaf Samach Zayin in the base. There are two types of robes in Halacha. What are the two types of robes in Halacha? What are the two types of robes? Rupa, the Lesa Kaman, and Rupa the Isa Kaman. Now, Rupa the Lesa Kaman is statistical. Most women give birth in 9 months. Rupa the Isa Kaman is the plants of stores are in front of you or in your face. When is your mayor Choshesh L'Miyuta? Only by what? Rupa the Lesa Kaman. Rupa the Isa Kaman, Afilu Remeir Lo Choshesh. And what is this? The city of Rekha. Is that a statistical robe or is that a robe in your face? That's a robe in your face. Rupa the Isa Kaman. So the pashtus says you don't have to be bothered by that. We could say that the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yudah is who? Reb Meir. And do you know why all the stains are Torah? Because we do go Basar Rav. There are a minority of Jews there. Rav and them are Goyim. But the Tanakhama holds that we're not what? We go Basar Rav. There might be some Jews there, but we go Basar Rav. The stains are Torah. So this is what the discussion that we could have with this Tosfos. Okay, Nachum, again, I want to bring it out. We said that Tosfos asked this theory, that our Mishnah implies that there are Shomer Torah mitzvahs. The Mishnah over there implies that there are no Jews there at all. The way we want to explain it to Machloek is whether Halakhic Jews or not, Tanakhama and Rabbi Yudah, and that was the theory that Tosfos asked. But we said the Mishnah Brura gave an answer. And he said that maybe one, Rove of the people that are going, that's why his name's a Torah, minority are Jewish. Right? Why can't you just assume like that? That would have been a good answer. Tosfos didn't like that answer. Because number one, we said the Remeir is what? Is the Tanakhama and Remeir is Choshesh L'Miyuta. But then we said that what? Maybe Remeir is not only Choshesh L'Miyuta by Rupa the Lesa Kaman. Rupa the Lesa Kaman is not Choshesh L'Miyuta. So that answer, Nachamah, could still be a good answer. So the bottom line is what you have to say is that what? When I talk about the phrase Kola, summon or Torah, that there's no Jews there at all, what is it, Machlech and Metzias? So what we want to bring out is that we're explaining this the Kasha based on what we said earlier. Are they Halakha Jews or are they not Halakha Jews? Certainly they were going. They converted. Then they left. They left the Derek. Are they still called Jews? Tanakhama says, no, they're going. Rabbi Yudah says they're considered to be what? Still Jews. And therefore, we have a stira. No one there is a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. So how do you get them coming from there? That's Tosfos Kasha. And the Mishnah Brura, he gave his teretz. Okay. Somehow Tosfos didn't like that teretz. And we're explaining maybe why Tosfos didn't like that teretz. Because we're saying Alumnus Shemachlaikis. You follow what I'm saying? We're explaining Alumnus. Are they Halachic Jews or not? You follow me, Aaron? Aren't they Halakha Jews? Tanakhama says, no, they're going. They left. Akhobishabad Yisrael? Yeah, in general. But if a guy becomes a Lunasaur, finished. He becomes a priest? Forget it. He becomes a apostate, he's a going. Rabbi Yudah says, no, he retains his Kedushas Yisrael. That's why we're saying Tosfos didn't want that. Tosfos asked this Kasha. It's a long Shemachlaikis. He didn't like this Teretz of the Mishnah Brura. He didn't like this Teretz of the Mishnah Brura at all, boys. Okay? Now, Lamaisa, what is Tosfos needed before we see the Tosfos inside ourselves here, that there is by us? What, how did Tosfos need to answer this question? Tosfos says, needed, there are multiple rekims. That's what Tosfos writes in Eden. Okay? The Mishnah here is talking about one reckon where there were Yidden. The Mishnah in Eden was talking about another reckon where there were not, either there were they were Goyim, Halachic Goyim, or they were Yidden that weren't Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Tosfos says that in Eden, not involved in the days, Dimamaskel HaBoyim. Okay? There were many reckons. In fact, Tosfos quotes are in a time here that the Gersh is not reckon, rekes, with a samach. So then it's even a different word. Midi tuve rekem have. There are many rekems. Or you could say it's rekes. One's rekem, one's rekes. Okay. That's Tosfos in Eden. Why is that a difficult teretz? Says the Maharshal and the Maharam here. Why did they not like that teretz? Because what comes out to be very bizarre, that means the Rekim in Chutz La'aretz has Jews, excellent Seth, and the Rekim in Eretz Yisrael has no Jews. So they're very bothered by that. Okay? Very, very bothered by that. Okay? They're very bothered by that. So the Maharshal writes, that's why Tosfos by us did not give that teretz. He doesn't like that teretz. He doesn't like that teretz. He doesn't, Tosfos by us did not like this and need it, because you want to say the two Rekims, that's fine. Okay, because the Rekim in Chutz La'aretz has Yidden and the Rekim in Eretz Yisrael doesn't. A little bit strange. Okay. Rashash says, why is it strange? I'll give you a city in Eretz Yisrael that has no Jews. Ramallah, right? Not Ramlah. Ramlah's right by Shalbim, right? There are a lot of Yidden. Ramallah, there are no Yidden. Right? You'll never find a Yidden in Ramallah. Right? Right? If there's a Yidden Ramah, it's in trouble. Not Rahmanul Islam, right? Okay? So, we can find some more. Shash says, why not? He says, we find Lamaisa that there is such a situation. Why isn't that possible in Eretz Yisrael there's no Jews living in a certain city? And in Chutz La'aretz there is a certain. Rashash challenges the Marshal. Okay. But what's the Maharam's Terence? What's the Maharam's Terence? What's the Maharam say why Tyson Kitten didn't like this answer? Tosfos by us didn't like, we're trying to explain Tosfos by get us, didn't like that answer of Tosfos needed. So he says, because, granted, when Rekim's mentioned in a Pasuk and Rekim's in a Mishnah, you could say they're two Rekim's. But when Rekim's mentioned in two different Mishnahs, that's too much to say. That one Mishnah is one Rekim and the other Mishnah is another Rekim. If it's a Rekim in a Pasuk and a Rekim in a Mishnah, you say the Rekim in the Pasuk is one Rekim, the Rekim in the Mishnah is another Rekim. But if they're both in Mishnah, it's very difficult. Okay? Alright. That's why Tosfos by us does not hold the Tosfos and Nida's Teretz. That they're two different republics. Either because of the Marshal's Teretz, that you can't have a Rekim in Eretz Yisrael have no Jews, the Rekim of Chutz La'aretz have Jews, and you can't have the Rekim in right, the Rashash challenges that and says, why not? So we give a different teretz of why the Maharam says it's because I don't like you to say two Rekumim, Tosfos says. Because in a Pasuk and a Mishnah like that, but in two Mishnahs it gets. Okay. Fine. So what does Tosfos say by us? Go ahead, Yonah. Go ahead. So what does Tosfos answer by us? We explain why Tosfos doesn't like the Tosfos teretz in Nida, but what does Tosfos say by us? Go ahead. Very good, go ahead. Excellent. We always stress, whenever there's a kashan rishonim, there's a premise in the kashan, right? But whenever the Rishonim give a teretz, very important methodologically, that premise can be destroyed when he gives his answer, or the premise can remain, and he comes up with a new din to answer the kashya. We always stress that methodologically when you're learning a Rishon. This works very well. Tosfos, when he gives the answer, destroys the premise of the kashya. What was the premise in the kashya? That in Rekim there was no one that was Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Either they were not Jews, or even the Jews were not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Right? The way we were masked. You know what Tosfos Teretz is? That's wrong. Tosfos Teretz is that both the Tanakh and Rebbe agree that there were Jews, and they were from Jews. But the Tanakhama holds that the Frum Yidim will always hide away their stains because they didn't want him in the Tame other people. And therefore, any stain that you found in the Shuk would be Tahora, must be from a non-Jewish woman. Because the Yidim that were Shomer Termis hid away their stains. That's the Tanakhama. You know what Rav Yehuda says? I agree with you, Tanakhama. They did everything. They were Shomer Termis, but there's one din, Vitoan, they forgot. What was the one din they forgot? They didn't know they had to hide their stains. And therefore, Omaisa, because of that, any stain that's found is Tomei. So that's what I want to bring out. He found the ox. The Teretzitosis destroys the premise of the Kasha. The premise of the Kasha is either they were going in, or the Yidden there were not Shomer Termis. Most of the Teretzitosis, no, that's wrong. All the Yidden there were Shomer Termis, and there were Yidden there, Sister Tanakhama. And the Yidden there hide their stains away. Therefore, any stain that's found in the Shuk shows that they're what? It's from a non-Jewish woman, therefore the Tahora. The second sheet holds, the following, and that is that you're right, I agree with you, Shomer Termis, and there's one thing that's told they make a mistake on, and that one thing is that they didn't realize they had to hide away their stains, and therefore it's a Jewish stain. Or it could very well be that it's a Jewish stain. That's a little bit strange. Maybe it's a Suffolk, right? Maybe it's a Suffolk. But why is it we're not? So it's like we're not. Then you'll ask the Rebbe, why come out? It's like they're a bottle of Kula. No. No, some of them are the Rabbanan. Why does Rav Yehuda automatically consider them to be the Rabbanan? I guess because, I'll tell you why. Because since it was so prevalent, their mistake about this, you could assume that there were what? That, and we don't know, maybe the Yidim are, how do you know the Yidim are minority there? You don't know if the population is that they're a minority. See, once you make this answer and the premise changes, we don't know the percentages. In fact, the way we explain the whole Tosa, we're not dealing with the percentages. Our Tosa didn't like that answer, that Rove of them were going, right? We don't know, maybe there's a lot of Yidim. So don't say something to Rabbanan Lakula. Maybe Rove of the people are Jewish in that city, right? It's hard to imagine to be a city in Kutzar's Rove of them are Jewish, but it's possible. Especially if it's near Eretz Yisrael, right? New York, we're all from Shemba Yidim there. Okay? Yeah, okay, we got it? That's Tosa's Terrence. But I want to stress to you that there was a premise in the Kasha, and therefore what? There was a premise in the Kasha, and Tosa destroyed that premise. Okay, we got it, Art? You got it? That's the terrorist. Yeah, go ahead, Ellen. No, you're saying, Nochamol, it's a Machlekes and Metzius. Whether they hide it or not. Huh? Ellie's asking good. What is he asking? He's saying, we're explaining that there are Shomer Torah mitzvahs and they did, practically, they're arguing whether they hid their stains. Isn't that a machlokes and mitzvahs nachamol? Seems very difficult, no? So I think what you have to say is as follows. What you have to say is, Ellie, is that this is where a Baruch Soloveitchik Tzatzal would always tell us. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, Ted Vavamanal, that is presents a machlokes whether oxen are tame or not tame. So Rav Aaron said, let's go ask a zoologist whether they're tame or not. Right? The answer is as follows. You have to lumnicize it. You go ask that zoologist, he'll tell you 50% of the oxen in the world are tame. Is that enough to deem them all as tame, or do you need 51%? You follow me? So I would say the same thing here. I would say, maybe there's a certain percentage, whatever that number might be of Yidden, that make a mistake. So Rav Yehuda holds, well, that's enough of a percentage to deem all the Yidden in that community that they are not observed that halacha. Tanakhama says, no, it's not enough. And I deem them as shomer every Torah mitzvah. And therefore, I assume that that always they hide them away, and if there's a stain found, it's of a non-Jew. You follow me? So, yes, that's the way you get out of any machlokes mitzvahs. But we had a huge shot in the Kasha place that was a real long mishum machlokes. Whether a goy that converts or any yid that goes off the derech to become a bishop, does he lose his kedushas yisrael? But that is the derech to get out of any machlokes mitzvahs. That is correct, and that's the way I would say it to be mocked in the Teretz Tosfos. Okay, very good. Well said. Excellent point. Yes, go ahead. Yes.
You can't use that answer to get out of the question we had in Sirus, the first place in Kasha. You can't use your Aaron Soloveitchik's answer with the oxen. You can't use that answer to get out of the
Get out of what?
The question.
What question?
The question of Sirus. we had the question.
What, in Tosis Kasha?
Yeah, which we can't use that answer.
Yeah, because that was difficult. I mean, you're right. Yossi's making a good point. When we presented Tosis Kasha, I mean, there you couldn't get out of it. What are they arguing whether we're Jews or not? You know, that's like a historic geographical machlokes. I don't know. Maybe you could. You could also, Yossi. You could say, is that there were 3% in the community were Jews. Is that enough to say that there were Yidden, or are we to say no? You know, you could also get out of it. But I would prefer to say it in a more lumdish way than we said it. Do you halachically lose your Kedushas Yisroel? You follow me? That's the machlokes we want to say in lumdish. So that's the way we have this kasha and we have this teretz. And that's how we run up the place. Okay, we got it? Jesse, you got it? Okay. Now this leads us a segue to the following. I wanted you to see this din of Kenonim Pokemon. I gave you on the last Mara Makom a Shulta Giburim Biyabos in the fourth parak. Amazing case. In fact, my friend was just in the Mesmerdish, Rabbi Rom Gordon. You know, he works in the OU. You know Rabbi Rom? Maybe we should introduce you to him one time. He's a good friend of mine. We learned in Yeshiva together, works in the OU. He's a very, knows all the minutes of the kashrus and everything. And in fact, he set me up with my wife. So I have a very special friend, a cover of mine. So I always call him Rabbi Avraham HaGadol. Rabbi Avraham HaGadol. So who was Rabbi Avraham HaGadol? Rabbi Avraham HaGadol was one of the great Rishonim. He's quoted, and if you did, please get a chance, if tomorrow we don't have it, on Tuesday or Wednesday in Seder, if you don't get a chance, please try to find it. It's at the end of that piece in Ozval. It's an amazing piece. What was the piece? What's the case? There was a Jew, unfortunately, that Taka became a bishop. Hamanal Islam. In the 1200s, 1300s. And he had a brother that was married. Died after being the brother of our kids. What does that do? Yibum. Zikim. She's stuck now. She cannot get remarried unless there's Yibum or Chalitza done. They asked for Bavron Magono. What do you do? Obviously, this guy's a bishop. He could care less. He's not interested at all in doing Chalitza. Right? They didn't do Yibum with Chalitza. He's a bishop. But he'd be in trouble if his peers were here that a bishop's doing Chalitza. Right? He'd probably get in trouble. All right. So what happens? They asked for Bavram Agon. He made an amazing psak. He said the following. Don't worry. She's free to get remarried. Why? He says the bishop is no longer Jewish. He became a coin. Number one. Become a Lumar. I'm a right. Not Bachman boy. Number two, he says, I never ever would allow a non-Jewish man to live with this Jewish woman because of Kenoim Pogim Bo. It's like a double chiddush. Kenoim Pogim Bo. What is that famous halacha? That's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that I gave you on Pei Aleph from a base. Pinchas. When you destroyed Zimri and Cosby, was acting as a K'nai. K'noyim Pogim Bo. He destroyed him. He was a K'nai for Hashem. Zealous for Hashem. And he acted, and he destroyed them. Now, someone tell me what the Chiddush of the statement of Rabbi Avraham HaGadol is. No? Someone tell me. Go ahead, Michael. Right, well, that's what he's saying. But what if the Chiddush is invoking Kenoim Pogim Bo? I can't hear you. Right, but what's the Chiddush? That's the first Chiddush, Seth. But in the case of Pinchas, who is Jewish and who is Goyish? Excellent, Michael. When Pinchas killed him, Zimri was Jewish, Cosby was non-Jewish. Jewish man with the shiksa. That's when you say Kenoim Pogim Bo. But who says you say it in the reverse case? With a Jewish woman, with a Goyish man. Rabbi Avraham HaGadol says you say it. Phenomenal Chiddush. phenomenal chiddush. The Ramban argues on this. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says, this is Rav Avraham Agomel. Rav Avraham Agomel against the Ramban. Negin or Ramban, the Ramban says, no way, you only say Kanaim Bolo in one direction. Which is mistaber, because the kids are going to be Goyim, right? Maybe you only say it in that case, it's much more of a heinous Aveira. But who says you say it in the reverse way? Rav Avraham Agomel says you say it. And Rav Moshe Zatzal writes in the truth that Tosfos at the end of the first parak of Yevamos argues. And also argues on the Ramban, as you say it in both directions. You follow me? This is a phenomenal machlokes. We never would fulfill nowadays, of course, the Kanaim Bolo. It's all theoretical. But I will tell you that if you're ever asked about assimilation, and how terrible it is, this speaks volumes about the terrible ramifications of intermarriage. We're not bloodthirsty people. The Gemara and Tzimbamas, we don't look to be violent. Here the halacha says on a theoretical level that you could take their lives. We never look to do that. But that's because intermarriage is such a terrible thing. We can't do this practically. Of course not. Chas v'shalom. We never do this. But on a theoretical level, you see, there's a fundamental machlokes what the scope of Kanoim Pogim Bo is. Boil our rungs. Is it only in one direction, Jewish man with a non-Jewish woman, or even in the reverse direction? So I'm saying Rav Avraham Agomel was saying two tremendous chidushim. And that's predicated on that if you want, you go off the derech, like the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama, the way Tosfos understood the Kasha, the Tanakhama held what? The guy that came in a posse, no longer Jewish. This was a born Jewish, wasn't a gear, wasn't a coin that became a gear. Then we said there two ways we could say over the Kasha, what Tosfos held the Kasha was only by a goy who became a gear, or even by a Jew. This was said by a Jew. There is a Me'iri, I didn't mention this to you, there's a Me'iri in Yevamos, and the Chof Talmud that quotes Gaonim, that say a Jew that became an apostate and comes back, he's got to go to the mikvah. Amazing sheet. Me'iri quotes Gaonim, that say if a Jew becomes an apostate and comes back, he's got to go to the mikvah. These are all tradition. But this opened the door for us to explain this machlokes of what between Rav Avraham Agomel and the Ramban, Rav Agomel negate the Ramban, what is the scope of Kanaim Bolo? Now, if I would ask you, how would you explain this din in Lomdus? It goes as follows. Every aveira that we have in the Chumash has two elements to it. One is the Maisa aveira. And two is the Chilul Hashem. One is the Maisa Aveira, the action of the Aveira, eating non-kosher food, wearing shatnez. One is the action of the Aveira, and two is the ramifications that emerge from your action, the Chilul Hashem. The reverberations of the Aveira that Hashem has been hurt. That's result-oriented. That's outcome-oriented. The first element is the action itself. Every Aveira that is done could have one of these two elements. Maybe this is the Machlokes. Okay? What's the Machlokes between Rav Avraham Agomel and the Ramban? Why is Boil Aromas Kanoim Pogabal? What is the getter of the Aveira? If it's what Chilul Hashem oriented, then what? It goes in both directions. But if it's action oriented, it's only in the direction of the union where the kids will be what? Kids will be boy. So I want you to get this down. The Ramban will hold Maisa Aveira. Rav Agomel will hold the notion of Chilul Hashem. That's what this machlokes is all about. Okay? They're arguing fundamentally, what is the mechanics of Boil Aromas Kanoim Pogabal? Is it the action? Maybe the only action of the union of having kids that will be going. with Cosby and Zimri. Then we could take their lives. But in the reverse direction, he says, if it's Chil Hashem, no matter what intermarriage in each direction is horrible. And for that, there's a lot of Kanai Pokemon. Oh. Now, this brings us to the following. Where is the Mokar and Shas of this din of Kanoim Ogimbo? And I say in Shas because it's not in the Chumash. It's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu certain dinim on Har Sinai that are not recorded in the Chumash. This story is recorded in the Chumash, but not the din. Okay? Oh. Actually, according to the Ramban, one of the dinim might be. Let's get it. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, where do we say the halacha of Kenoyim Pokimbo? The Mishnah says, Adach Pei Beis and Beis, Pei Alf and Beis, Hakonevis Akisvo, Vamakao Bekoisim, Vaboyal Aromis Kenoyim Pokimbo. Oh, there are three cases where a zealous man for Hashem could take people's lives. Not going through Beis Din, not with Ahim and Asra. What are the three cases? Number one, going to this Akisra. What does that mean? You see someone steal the Kli Sharis. What's a Kli Sharis? A Kli in the Beis HaMikdash that's Makadosh the other Kelim. You see a guy steal that and run, you could actually kill him. All theoretical. The Ramban is based on the Pasuk and the Parsha of Midbar. Lo yira kivalos es HaKodesh. I think the Pasuk is the end of Parsha of Midbar. Lo yira kivalos es HaKodesh. Very, very interesting Pasuk. That's what the Ramban says it's referring to. That's number one. What's number two? If you see someone, God forbid, curse someone with black magic. You see him actually doing that and hear it, you could destroy him. And number three, Boyal Aramis. These are the three cases that are given in the Mishnah. Okay? Now, the Meiri writes on that Mishnah, on that Pei Beis, that there is a difference between one and two as opposed to three. That looks like a three itself, sorry. Okay? You know how you do those brackets and that? I like that. That's a little better. Okay? I don't know how much two better, but 2, 1, and 2 as opposed to 3. What is the difference? The Meiri says as follows. The Gemara writes, if Pinchas would have, I'm sorry, if Zimri would have turned around and killed Pinchas, would Zimri have been punished? No. Because the Gemara says that Pinchas is labeled as a road egg. Amazing. Even though Pinchas was doing a correct thing, but he was a road egg. If Zimri would have turned around and killed him, he would have been off the hook. Because Pinchas is a road egg. When it comes to the first two, though, if the Ganef or the Makawel tries to turn around and kill you, and he kills you, you're trying to kill him because you think you're doing a mitzvah. If he turns around and kills you, he's Chayav Misa. You follow me? When it comes to Boyal Aramis, if Zimri turns around and killed Pinchas, Zimri would have gotten off the hook. In number one and number two, if the Gonef for the Makal turns around and tries to kill you, he is Chayav Misa. That's number one distinction between the first two cases and the third. Number one. Number two, we only fulfill the halacha of Boyal Aramis if for Esia. Okay, so number one is there been a rodent, we'll just say. And number two is, we'll say the halacha is a bit parhasia. What do you mean bit parhasia? Number one and two, even if it's in a private form, what's bit parhasia in front of 10 Jews? Number one and two, even if it's private, if you see a guy steal the klisharis, it's not impulsive. You see Macau because the only guy who sees it? Here's him do it. Not important. Number three is only good for us. We got the two distinctions. This is what the Miri writes. Miri says, there's no such concept of rodent by one and two. You're not a rodent. You're doing a mitzvah. Comes to three, no. He turns around and kills you, he's off the hook. What's the difference? Someone tell me the difference. What would you say? What's the difference conceptually between one and two as opposed to three, based on what we presented? What's the machayiv of one and two? Of one and two, set? My seven. You don't need the parhesia. When you go ahead and kill them, the makal of the kosem and the gonav of the kisva, you're acting as like a shliach beis din. When you have Adam that execute a guy from Mrs. Beis Din, do you think they're punished? Of course not. They're doing a mitzvah. Ubiyar tahara mikirbecha. It's a mitzvah. In one and two, it's the maisa aveira. Therefore, you don't need a freser. Therefore, you're like a shliach beis din. And number three, what are you? You're stopping the one set, achil Hashem. You're stopping it, so you have a heter. But you only have a heter. If he turns around and kills you, you're really a rodent. Do you know what the Yerushalmi writes in Sanhedrin? That the Chachamim wanted to put Pinchas in Idui. And then the Shechina came down and said, no, don't put him in Shechina. What he did is right. So what I'm pointing out is that if you say it's basically an approach of Maisa Veira, that it's a fortified, like a Shechina based in, you don't need the Pharesia for one and two, and if he turns around and kills you, he's Chayiv. Because you're not a rodent. But if you say you were talking about Boil Aramis, which is the Machai, the Schil Hashem, then you need 10 Jews, but for Hashem, it's got to be done. He has to be living with the non-Jewish woman in front of 10 Jews, number one. And number two, you have a heter to kill him. But if he turns around and kills you, he's off the hook. Because it's a Schil Hashem. And you have a heter to stop the Schil Hashem, but you're not going to steal the basement. The guy who's a Schil Hashem is not going to be so gentle. Everyone got this? That's the Kiddush that we want to bring out. That's the Kiddush we want to bring out. Yeah, Yossi, go ahead. We'll get to that. That's by the Tzimit, whether you're Chayav Karas. Somebody else by Karas.
That wasn't by Boal Aramis.
It is, but whether you're Chayav Karas. We'll get to it, Lamais. But does everyone see this? Everyone got this distinction? We're using these two tracks, whether it's the Maisa Veira or it's the Chil Hashem. And therefore we're distinguishing between the first two cases and the third case. Okay? And that same two approaches, we really said, you should ask me, oh, so what's the Chacham with the Ramban? There's no doubt that every Aveira you do in Halach has a Chil Hashem to it. But the Ramban says the major motif of Boal Aramis is the Maisa Veira. Therefore it works in one direction. See, we just got to say the Ramban, Ramakomagos, based on what is it? Maisa Veira, Chil Hashem. Now we turn around and say that Boal Aramis is only Chil Hashem to both the first two. No, Boal Aramis, of course, has one. The element of what? Of a Maisa Veira. The question is, what is the motif? The Ramban said the major motif is the Maisa Veira. The Ramban will say the major motif is the Maisa Veira. I mean, we just got to say the Ramban will say that it's the Maisa Veira. Now we're saying that Boal Aramis is Chil Hashem. That's why you need Pharesia. No, the Ramban said, of course, it's a Chil Hashem. You need 10 Jews. But the major motif is a Maisa Veira, therefore it only works in one direction. The question is, what's the major Machayim, according to the Ramban? Oh, now with this in mind, you can continue the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say over there? It says, unbelievable thing, Kohen Shishimish Betuma Ein Achiv HaKohanim Evino Solobesim El Epirche Yikuna Motzino Solchutz Lazar Mavzinis Mocho Bixiri. A Kohen that is Mishamish Betuma, a Kohen that serves in the Mishamish Betuma, what do? His brethren, the Kohanim, did not bring him to Beis Din. The younger Kohanim took him outside the Azar and they pierced his brain. They threw at his head with stones. That's what it says in the Mishnah. First it lists these three cases, and then it lists a fourth case called a Kohen Shishimesh Betuma. Now, why is that? What is the getter of this thing? Is it Midin Kinoim Pogabo? So, listen to this. The Chedusher of Yonason Min Lumil writes it is explicitly based on the din of Kinoim Pogabo. We don't paskin it. So you'll ask me, why is the Kohanim do it? Because they're the only guys that can be in the Azara. If it's a din of Kenani Pogamo, it doesn't have to be Dafka the Kohanim. It could be someone else. But the only reason why I mentioned the Kohanim here is because why? The Kohanim were there in the Azar. So according to Rabbi Yonasan Leniel, there's a fourth case that's mentioned in the Mishnah. Please get that. Kohen Shishimish Betumo. However, the Chuvus HaRabbaz denies it. The Chuvus HaRabbaz writes that this halach in Siman Tov Resh Lamed Aleph is not based on Kenoyim Pogamo, it's based on a different halach called Shmiras Mikdash. What's Shmiras Mikdash? What's Shmiras Mikdash? Guarding the Beis HaMikdash. There is a mandate to guard the Beis HaMikdash. You know, the Levim have 21 posts that they guard the Beis HaMikdash. You know, the mitzvah of guarding the Beis HaMikdash. And there was a man called Ishar Abayis who used to go around and burn their clothes if they caught them sleeping to wake up. Mishkan Midos. The Ishar Abayis, in fact, the Rosh says there, how can he burn their clothes? Baal Pashas. So he answers, Hefker Beis HaHefker. How can Hefker Beis HaHefker solve Baal Pashas? Baal Pashas in Isser. Hefker Beis HaHefker only has the rights in Dinimonis. So the Baron says the misprint. The Rosh was asking about Tigzol. You can't steal. You can't steal. So Hefker Beis HaHefker is what makes it okay. It's not stealing. What I want to bring out though is that Rabbaz is a different approach. What's the reason why they were able to destroy the Kohen Shishimish Betumah? Because of Shmiras Mikdash. You shouldn't have Kohanim doing a Kohen Shishimish Betumah. It's a completely different deal. Not based on what? Kenoyim Pogamim. And Tosfos writes on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, he quotes a Tosefta in Maskav Lo, that there's a Tosefta that says a Kohen that goes in Be'ulu Mizbeach that did not wash his hands and feet, also we destroy him as well. Also we destroy him as well. So you see that Tosfos learns that this is a Lach and Shmiras Mikdash. So what I want to bring out is this fourth din in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, that Kohen Shishimish Betumah that he can be killed, is that anything can I go wrong? Are you sure if Yonas Lemuel, the Rishon says yes? The Rabbah says no, it has nothing to do with it. It's a din of Shmiras Mikdash. They want to watch the Beis HaMikdash. And Tosfos seems to highlight that by saying it's not limited only to Tumah. If a Kohen goes to between the Ulam and Mizbeach without washing his hands and feet, he's also Chayav Nisim. So this is a whole of Machlokes as to whether this fourth din is Midin K'nayim Pogamim or not. But let's get back to the details of these two approaches of K'nayim Pogamim by Hoyel HaRoz. First, Nachgemina we had is what the scope is. Is it in one direction? Or is it in the second direction? That's number one. Number two, Yossi brought up the following. If you have a Jewish man that lives with a non-Jewish woman, what's the halacha? Kenoyim Pogamim. Yes, if 10 Jews know about it, in fact, the Farhesia, the Marav Shik says, as long as they know about it, we do not fulfill this. It's all theoretical, of course. I keep stressing it. It's all theoretical. But what I want to bring out is the following. What happens if he's doing it in private? 10 Jews don't know about it. Is there any punishment at all? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Pei Beis Amud Aleph that if a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman in public and no one killed him, is there any punishment? Yes or no? Yes. Let's get off scot-free. Please get this. It's a kares midibre kahal. He's given kares from the Navi. He's given kares from the Navi. But Ferush Gamar and Sanhedrin Pei Beis Amud Aleph. What happens if he lives with her bitsina privately? Is he given karas medivre kabbalah? So there are three shikas. That's what Yossi was saying before. The Ran in Sanhedrin has a suffix. Number one. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos Lotasi Nun Beis says beferish yechayev karas, and Tos Shishonim and Yevamos Ayin Vavam Ezer Maskul Bishlomo says there is no iser karas at all. So there's three shittas. Ran is suffic. Rambam says yes. Tosfos Yeshanim says no. So one nature now communion we want to say is this, is the skull. Is there only one direction, Jewish man with an average woman, or even the opposite direction? Number one, not. My Savior in one direction, Kol Hashem both directions. Second Afkamina, that's number one. I'm right number two here. What's second Afkamina? Chorus Vitiri Kabbalah Bitsina. Someone, go ahead, Masber, for me. Go ahead, Michael. Oh, you have Kasha?
Yeah.
Before you have Kasha, how would you be Masber it? Ellie? If you hold that skill Hashem oriented, then what? If it's in private, then what? You shouldn't be having chorus. That's the sheet of who? The Tulsa Shoshana. The sheet of the Rambam holds is based on what? Maisavero. You don't need to have the Farashi. You'll still be chorus in your skull. And the Ron is not sure because you could go either way. That's the second Nafkanini. Alex, you got me? That's the second Nafkanini. Will be chorus in the Kabbalah? I'm going to stress this. Bitsina. Bitsina in private. The commercial is black and white before Hesia there is. The question is, did seen it? Why did it? The Jewish man lived with a Jewish woman. And no one killed him. It was a front of the Jews. He goes to the office, got praise him. Courage from the Navi in Malachi. The question is, did seen it? That depends on what your approach is to Kadoi Bokhan. That's number two, Dr. B. Number three. Mike, you had a question. Sorry, go ahead.
The Rambam can't be.
Now, number three now to me. Asra. There is a machloikis between the Rambam and the Raita. The Rambam is found in Hilchos Yisuri Bia Pirik Yidbeis Olach Adalim. He writes that if you engage in Kinoyim Pokeball Boil Aramis, it's a Dabar Halachal Amosh Misinai, and you're praiseworthy. Amazing thing. Praiseworthy. Praiseworthy. The Ravid says no. You're only praiseworthy if you give Asra. Rak Basra. Rak Zariz Basra. You're only considered to be Zariz, a good person, Meshubach, doing this, if it was Asra. The Rambam says nothing about Asra. Nothing. What's this machlekes all about? Ravid says, Rak Zariz Meshubach Basra. Rambam seems to say he went down. Feel the bully Asra. What do you say? Excellent, sir. If it's a Mais Aveira, then you're acting like a Shliach based it. The only time you can execute a guy is if you gave the guy a straw. According to the Rambam, though, it's Chil Hashem. Now, Chil Hashem could go one of two directions, Michael. So basically, three possibilities now. Look, Chil Hashem could go in one of two directions. You could say Chil Hashem is you have a Rishus, or you could say Chil Hashem is so bad, you're a great thing. Why did you want to say just steer that what? Why? The Rambam held what? This was the Ramban. Which?
Second
half communion about the Rambam?
Yeah.
Right. So he's asking good. There was, according to the Rambam, we said it was a Mais Aveira, and you should even be chayav what? Karas B'Dibri Kabbalah. Did see it. Mais Aveira. Yitz, he says, now we're saying the Rambam is based on what? Based on Chil Hashem. So my answer to you is that according to the Rambam, the major motif is the Mais Aveira, but it still has Chil Hashem ramifications, and the ramifications usually you would think is you have a heter. He says no, the Rambam holds. He says no. Based on Chil Hashem, what can you do? You can actually what? You can actually go ahead and what? Destroy them. But maybe that's based on the fact that it's a Mais Aveira. You follow what I'm saying? But he's quoting the Rambam holds in this approach, and there are yields of both approaches, the Mais Aveira affects the Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem straight up on its own, you only have a Rishus. you wouldn't be able to what? Kill him. Like they wanted to put him in Nidui. He only had Rishus. No, but since we're saying it's my severity, it affects the Chil Hashem, different nature like a what? Nature like a sheep. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, but I'm saying even if you all went to arrive at it, you need Hasra, how do you read the Gemara? So the Yadarmo reads the Gemara that Pinchas didn't give Hasra. If Pinchas would have given Hasra, then he couldn't have turned around and killed him. You follow what I'm saying? The Yadarmo says out of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, if you require Hasra, why is if he turns around a road eighth? What do you mean? He didn't give Hasra, the Yadarmo says. If he would have given Hasra, then he couldn't have turned around and killed him. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not sure what you said with Lech Mishnah. You know what?
So it's
like automatic Hasra, you're saying?
Not saying
that
you don't need
Hasra
at all.
I don't know, but it seems like it doesn't mention any Hasra. You're just saying it's like automatic. Okay, we gotta look again. I don't think he mentions it. But I'm saying your point is well taken. I'm saying, by the fact that I'm holding this accommodation, shows that what this type of Chil Hashem you can act on. Yes, you go ahead.
You're saying that's
a good point, Yehuda. It's a good point. I'll tell you why you can't say that. And I didn't explain it. I'm glad you asked me that. Why do you assume Hasra's connect with the Maisa there? Because what's the whole point of Hasra? To determine whether your action was Bishogig or B'mazin. Anytime you talk about Hasra, what's the whole point of Hasra? The Gemara says, I'm not kidding. Otherwise, I can say I didn't know it was Hasra.
Right.
So anytime you talk about Hasra, it shows that you're trying to determine whether the Maisa there was Bishogig or B'mazin. You follow what I'm saying? That's why I attached the Rive to Hasra with my Sabir. It's a very good point, though. I neglected to explain that. That's why we assume that Hasra is connected with my Sabir.
The reason why it's connected with my Sabir is because you want to determine whether it shows your mix. That's what you're doing.
So that's a third document. We got it so far? Three. Number four.
Running out of space here.
Number four. A fourth document. There's a machloikis whether we say kimle b'rabi mine. Is anyone familiar with kimle b'rabi mine? If I turn a line on a Shabbos, God forbid, and I rip someone's shirt while I'm doing it, I don't have to pay him for the shirt. Kimle b'rabi mine. I'm giving them the worst punishment, and therefore I'm exempt from what? I'm exempt from paying. What's the din if a guy was living with a non-Jewish woman, and they were in front of 10 Jews, and they could kill him, and then he damages someone's property while doing that? And destroy someone's property while living with the woman. What's Allah? Must he pay or not? What would you say? What do you say? So it's a machlaikis. The prima godic. Let's start with Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger in Ksubis and Choftesim and Alf, and the Chiddush Rabbi Kiveger writes that we say Kimle bin Rabbi Mine, and he does not have to pay. He does not have to pay. And the Prima Godin argues, and also the Sefer Hafla argues on Rabbi Kiveg.
Do you say Kimle bin Rabbi Mine? Kimle? It's the way you write the phrase, bin Rabbi Mine. Doesn't it have to be one action?
Kimle bin Rabbi Mine, yes. Oh, no, not necessarily, Seth. You can have two different addresses. It's called Misa Lazer. The Mamun Lazeh. So Machloi, yes, you're right. Very good. Let's assume that we say it across the board. Okay? Let's assume you say it. Mamun Lazeh, Misa Lazeh. So if you say Kimle bin Rabbi Mine, Kiveger says yes, the Hafla and the Prima Godin say no. What do you say? What's it based on? If it's a Maisa Avera and you're really Chayv Misa like based in, it's like Misa's based in, so then would you say you're Chayv Mamun? No! Putter! Any guy that's Chayv Misa is Putter from Mamun. But if you say it's just a Chil Hashem and you're acting like a halachic vigilante, however you pronounce it, You're acting like a halachic vigilante and you're stopping a closure. Do you think he's potter for a moment? No. Of course you're chayav a moment. That's the sheet of the Hafwah and the Primigon. How do you view Kimai Barbo? Isn't like you're doing a Maisa Vera and a Shliach Beis, and you're acting like it's a Mises Beis and that should pop the moment. It's not like a Mises Beis, it shouldn't pop the moment. Now the Rambam kind of like had a third approach, like you're saying, Yitzi, that it's a combination, and the Chil Hashem is coming like on the tails or on the heels of the Maisa Vera, so you got to think to stop that. So what would you say according to the Rambam? It's a good question. I don't know what the Rambam would say. My impression would be, Yitzi, that he would be putter. Because the Maisa Avera is the major motif. And that's why your Chayav Kara seemed to have seen it. So my impression from the Rambam would be, it's a very excellent question, that you'd be putter for a moment. Okay? Alright, that's the fourth Nafkamina. And last, but not least, a fifth Nafkamina regarding this. Okay? And again, this is the way, reason why, how do we get out of this whole mahalo? Please, I want to get the connection. What was the how we get out of this whole mahalo? The way we were masber toisus kasha. The machlokes in Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda is, are these guys in Rechem that went off the derech, are they goyim? Tanakam says, yes, they become goyim. They were Jewish, they were goyim, they converted, they were goyim. No, Rabbi Yehuda said they were not Jewish. And Rabbi Avraham Avinu had the case of the bishop that he says, there's no way this woman's stuck. She's not an aguna. She's not an aguna. The bishop become a goy, and I never would let that guy live with, call, like you said, Michael, I never would let the bishop do yibum. Call a shayna all over yibum. If there's no chi, if yibum, there's no chalitza. Why not? Because of Kanayim Pogim Bo. He's a Jew, a non-Jewish man, she's a Jewish woman. Who says we say in that direction? Rabbi Avraham Avinu says it. Tyson Yavonis says it according to Moshe. Against the Ramban. What's it based on? Based on the Schirish of what? It's based on the Schirish of what is the Hagdoris of the Maisa Vera or Chil Hashem. Okay? This is a Shtigl Torah. You write up a whole Shtigl Torah on the how he reminds me of the Tysus. This Tysus, you know, the premise of the Kasher. That's how he's telling me. It's not a place in it seems. We said that they're fundamentally arguing here. But are they no longer goyim or not? Okay. What's a fifth nafkamina? Very, very important. God forbid, no one should have a shiloh like this, but yeharei bal yavor. Do you say yarek bal yavor? You know, there are three cardinal errors you have to give up your life for. When someone takes a gun to my head and says, do murder, idolatry, adultery, I have to let myself be killed. He says, if you don't do any of those three, I'm going to kill you. I have to say, listen, I can't do those three. You have to kill me. Okay, anything else? He asks me the ham sandwich. I eat the ham sandwich. Unless he's trying to break Yadus. Right? He's trying to break Yadus in front of 10 Jews. I cannot do it. He takes a gun to my head and says, I want you to eat the ham sandwich in front of 10 Jews. If you don't, I'm going to kill you. And the reason why I want you to eat ham sandwich is I want you to show that halacha is not really important. And that Judaism is not good. I have to let myself be killed. It's not one of the Gimel of Errors, but it's Chil Hashem in front of 10 Jews. I have to let myself be killed. Now, if he's doing it with Shem Hanoah, he thinks that my eating, he owns a ham company. So he thinks if I eat ham, I'll make millions of dollars more. He's not doing it to break Yadus. Then I can eat the ham sandwich, even in front of 10 Jews. It says in the Gemara, it says in Shulchan Aruch. Told him he's trying to break Yadus. Okay. What's the din? A guy takes a gun to my head and says, live with a non-Jewish woman. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? So, let's start like this, in the reverse case. A non-Jewish man with a Jewish woman. Jewish woman's life is threatened to live with a non-Jewish man. The Ramah writes in Yordaeus Siman Kufnun Zion that is not called Gilui Arayos. She does not have to give up her life. However, the Shach there in Sifkat Yud Beis writes that a Jewish man with a non-Jewish woman, then you say Yarek Al Yavor. Then you say Yarek Al Yavor. Now, why is that? There are two reasons why you can say Yarek Al Yavor in that case. Why? Either because it's an Abizrayu to Gili Arayas, it's a subcategory, or because Bitsina Yechayev Karis. And any time Yechayev Karis, it's subsumed under Gili Arayas. Two reasons you can say that. But we are suggesting that
You only say Yaakov, Yahweh, in one direction. Only in the direction of a Jewish man with a non-Jewish woman, but not in the reverse direction. Why is that? What's the lumbus? Because it's based on a what? Excellent. If we were based on Chil Hashem, maybe one could have argued on that and said that we would say Yarav Yara in both directions. So the fifth nafkamina would be what? Yarav Vayara. Where did I write number five? I don't even know where I wrote number five. I don't think, did I write it yet? I thought I did. What did you say? Number four. Yeah, I thought I wrote five. Okay, Yarav Vayara. That's a big nafkamina. If you hold my sabir, then make a split of it. Jewish man with a non-Jewish woman. Not in the reverse direction. I mean, the kids aren't going to... I'm not saying it's okay, but at least the kids are going to be Jewish. If you hold Tzichel Hashem, then maybe you argue. But the Ramah and the Shach say this Pesach. And that's the halacha in a very, very interesting way. It comes out, Lamaisa, that there is such a halacha, and that's a big shaila in general, Lamaisa.
Does it have to be in the Ramah or in the Shach? Like, let's say, mixed dance of Tzichel. Mixed dancing, people do L'shem Chiyuv, L'shem Hanah.
Is that Yarav Yahweh? Rambam says it is. Rambam says it is. That it's L'shem Hanah. There's a notion of Abba's Rival. The Ramban writes it's an Isidro Rabbonim. The Ramban writes it's an Isidro Rabbonim. That's a very big machlokes. So we're saying two reasons why you would say you have to be Yarav Yahweh. Either it's a subcategory of Gilui Ra'as like the Rambam, or maybe you're Chayav Karis in Sina. And anytime you're Chayav Karis, that's enough to make it like Gilui Ra'as. There's just one last thing we got to point out, and that is that we always say that Boyle Aramis said before Hesia. I thought anything before Hesia you have to give up your life for. No? Didn't we say that before? What's the answer to that? It's not true. When do you have to give up your life for the ham sandwich? When he's trying to break what? Yadus. When it comes to Canadian Pogan Bowl, even without trying to break Yadus. Even without trying to break Yadus. The actual act of a Jewish man and Jewish woman would mandate Yarav Yahweh. If you hold my Sabbath, you make a split. If you hold Chil Hashem, then you send in both directions. So these are five very good nafkaminas, how you view the halacha of Boyle Aramis, Knoi Bogomo. And there are other three, two cases that we had in Kodesh Shemesh Betumah, we had different ways of looking at. Yeah, go ahead, Yitzhak.
So if you held Chil Hashem, then you would say that a Jewish woman with a boy would have to give up her life?
If you say Chil Hashem, you'd say it in both directions.
You would have to give up her life? Right?
Yes, that's what I'm suggesting. Yes, we don't paskin like it. We don't paskin like that. You're right, we don't paskin like that. But one would maybe take that issue. Take an issue and say like that. That's correct. I mean, that's what Rabbi Gomer was saying in essence, no? He wasn't saying Yarav Yahweh, but he was saying, I never would have let that bishop live with her. That's basically what he was saying. He wasn't saying Yarav Yahweh, but he said, I never would allow it. If I would see that happen, he would say he would kill him. That's basically what he's saying. No. He's not talking about Yarav Yahweh like you're saying, it's a good point, but he's saying he would never allow it. He would kill him. Theoretically. Saying, can I impugn him? So I'm saying what would follow from that would be, he said, why not say Yarav Yahweh?
There's a big difference between killing a Jew and not a Jewish woman.
No, we always say, can I impugn us both? You kill both of them. You kill both of them. That's what Shechler has in his Sefer, because the Takalas crossed through her. He killed both of them. It's a very good point to bring up. But that's what you're right. We don't paskin. We paskin only in one direction. We say Yarav Yahweh. That's correct. But this is Lamaisa, a very, very important issue. And as Seth hinted to before, it gets very complicated. We're close with this. Halacha Lamaisa happens all the time. And hopefully it shouldn't, but people convert. Many times people convert for they want to get married. That's all shallow with a garris. L'shumish is a good garris. But assuming that it is, what if they don't stick with it? I mean, how do you still view them as being Jewish or not? It's a very, very big machlekes. Very big. It happens all the time. People get married, let's say they don't stick with it at all. I mean, let's say the woman was Jewish. What do? The woman was Goyish. She converted to become Jewish. Then she doesn't stick with it at all. What do you do with the kids? Are the kids Jewish? Are they not Jewish? Different posts we discuss. Some posts say, well, if the basin measured at the time of the Gerrit that she was sincere, then we assume she was Jewish, even if she didn't stick with it. And others say no. So it's a very complicated issue.
But what we do find is that the Arba Kairos, that even though Achal Pi Shechat Yisrael, which is generally the predominant rule all the time, somehow when you do engage in Avodah Zarah, somehow there are some shittas that say you could get what? You could be banished. That's true, but we need a collective basis. But we want to say it's all based on the Tanakhaber of Yudin, those Yudin and Rekin, when they went off the derek and they engaged in these things, we're assuming they also did Avodah Zarah, you have to say. They were Noi Kigoyim. So if they're Noi Kigoyim, some of them did Avodah Zarah also, did they lose their Kedushas Yisrael? Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a good